This interview was pre-recorded on Saturday, November 11th, Veterans Day. Tomorrow afternoon, the 4-5 New York Jets leave the bitter cold. Right now, it is 33 degrees to travel south to sunny 80-degree Tampa Bay to take on the 2-6 Buccaneers. With the injury to starting quarterback Jameis Winston, the Buccaneers find themselves counting on journeyman quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick, who was signed by the Bucs after a short stint with the Jets. The Jets are relying on journeyman quarterback Josh McCown, who, in his 15th season, is experiencing a fluke season. It's the second-best quarterback rating he's ever posted. It's 96.1 versus his career average as 80.2. Tampa Bay is also on a stop on his journey throughout the NFL. After a fast start, the Buccaneers are in the midst of a 5-game skid, while the Jets are coming off a strong 34-21 victory over the emerging Buffalo Bills. All right, Jets fans, we are in for a very special treat this week on 60 Minute Overtime. I have on the phone TJ Reeves. Among many other things, he is a sound mentor to me trying to navigate this business. But more importantly, he's the sideline reporter for the Buccaneers Radio Network. He's going to bring us some inside knowledge of this team and examining this Week 10 matchup. So TJ, first for me is going to be the main storyline. What can you tell my listeners about this storyline? Ryan Fitzpatrick gets the start against his most recent former team, the New York Jets.
It's crazy. It's good to be with you. And how about we have former quarterback going against former quarterback for their old teams when Fitzpatrick gets to play against the Jets. But let's not forget that Josh McCown was here for a 2014 season, which ended up being an awful year. 1 year he was here as the starting quarterback in Tampa Bay, and McCown now playing well for the Jets. So this is two quarterbacks going against their ex-teams yet again. And the wild part, your listeners probably know something about this stat, they played against each other last year when Fitzpatrick was the Jets quarterback and McCown was the Browns quarterback. And Danielle, at that time, it set the record because it was the first time ever the two quarterbacks who had played for 13 different teams between them, McCown 7 teams, Fitzpatrick 6 teams, played against each other and started a game. Now, fast forward a year, it is 15 teams between the two of them. McCown's 8th team, Fitzpatrick's 7th team, and they get to start it in November in Tampa. How about that? Look, at 38 years of age, McCown is older, but he appears to be much more nimble than Fitzpatrick is. Fitzpatrick can move around some and still looks great. I mean, he looked good back 4 years ago in Tampa Bay, running around, scrambling around. Now, you can make the argument that maybe he's taking chances with his body that he shouldn't be taking as a 38-year-old going down the middle of a defense where tacklers can clobber him or not getting to the sideline quick enough before somebody can clobber him. But he has shown great athleticism even at 38 years of age, including that touchdown against the Bills back 10 days ago.
You know, that was something he was always known for as a Jet. That's what I liked about him, his grit, his willingness to dive across the goal line and take one for the team. But, you know, he is the second quarterback for this team, and if something happens to him, who knows what's going to happen for the Bucs. So he's got to be a little bit more careful in his game strategy and his approach for tomorrow.
Well, yeah, and this is a Buccaneer defense that has really struggled to be consistent at all. They were so good a year ago, especially the second half of the year on third down and in takeaways. They're not really doing either. Have had trouble rushing the quarterback. They're worst in the NFL in sacks. Fewest sacks in the league. So Buccaneers are searching for some answers, and they're hoping they're going to find some answers against their former teammate. I mean, rest assured that Gerald McCoy, big defensive tackle, Pro Bowl, perennial Pro Bowl defensive tackle, outstanding Pro Bowl caliber linebacker Levante David, they've been wanting to hit Josh McCown since 2014. They were never allowed to, Danielle. They're finally allowed to hit him in this game on Sunday.
Well, I have sort of an interesting take on this because everybody's saying, oh, Fitzpatrick versus his old team, the Jets. As far as I'm concerned, the only thing familiar to him is going to be the uniform color, honestly, because they have a completely new-look defense. They've got rookies on there. They've got Revis out of there. The Jets have fired 5 or more assistant coaches this offseason, including 3 on the defensive side. Pepper Johnson, defensive line coach. Mark Collins, outside linebackers coach. And Joe Dana, who is the defensive backs coach. So, you know, it's a mass exodus of veteran talent. The defensive schemes are just completely different. They've drafted guys that are starting. And I think Fitzpatrick, who we all know, we're tired of hearing, he's a Harvard graduate. He couldn't even tip off the scout team offense in this game because his former offensive coordinator, Chan Gailey, retired after last season. So I'm tired of hearing this Fitzpatrick versus his old team because, honestly, it's a whole different Jets team that he's going against than what he's used to.
So it's like you were a lawyer and we were in the courtroom and I'm the judge. I would say case dismissed.
Right?
Case dismissed. You made a great argument there on that. And you know the same can really be said for McCown knowing the Buccaneer defensive scheme somehow, some way, because this is a different coaching staff now than when he played here. Mike Smith running a different defense than what was here. So I think you're right. A lot of people are playing into that. How much do they know about their old team and their old scheme? And I think you've eloquently laid out not a whole lot can be gleaned. It's probably going to come down to who doesn't make mistakes. And, you know, that's something that has plagued both of them. And one of the reasons why they bounced around is interceptions and mistakes. And, you know, we saw Ryan Fitzpatrick get significant playing time in the game at Arizona when Jameis Winston was hurt the first half. He had three touchdowns. He threw for nearly 300 yards, but he had two interceptions, including a critical one in the fourth quarter where the Bucs were backed up in their own end. He gave away an interception down by the goal line. The Cardinals scored on the next play. It basically ended any hope of a comeback. McCown has been the same way. He is talented. He's a great guy to be around, but if there's one thing that has constantly hampered him is he will throw the ball to the other team, and he has done it throughout his career. He did it in the Dolphins' loss late in the game. He has done it even in a couple of their victories where he's thrown interceptions and you just scratch your head. So if you're the Bucs, you're also looking for the takeaway, just like the Jets are looking at the takeaways from Fitzpatrick.
Well, I think the Jets are third in the league in takeaway ratio. So I think Fitzpatrick's got an uphill battle in that sense, more so than McCown versus the Buccaneers defense.
Well, and yes, and a 3-4 defense has given the Bucs some trouble here and there. I mean, the good news is we won't know until around game time or what they decide with the inactives, but Muhammad Wilkerson has been listed as did not participate 3 days in a row in practice and listed as questionable. If he can't play, that's advantage Buccaneers because that's one of the big defensive problems on that line that the Buccaneers are preparing for. So we'll see if he is healthy enough to play in the game, but if not, you know, that 3-4, I mean, the Bucs have not been able to run the ball at all. And so that 3-4 was already going to present problems as it is. If he is in there, it presents even more problems for the Buccaneers trying to get something going.
Now, speaking of getting something going, we have to go over, we're recording this on Saturday at noon. We have for Tampa Bay quarterback Jameis Winston obviously out, Mike Evans, wide receiver suspended. And on the Jets side, you just talked about Wilkerson. We have Matt Forte out already. And as Jeremy Curley is also serving a suspension for PED use. So for the Buccaneers, you know, looking at this, you tell me if I'm wrong, but I have the key matchup for the Buccaneers being the tight ends, Brayton Howard versus the Jets secondary. So how much of an impact have Brayton Howard had on the Bucs offense, especially Howard being drafted so high? How has he blended in?
Well, they are, good question, they are in tandem as dangerous a couple of tight ends as there are in pro football. I mean, Cameron Brake, you go back to the middle of last year, speaking of Harvard, you know, that's a Harvard tight end, and when Fitzpatrick not only completed him a pass, but completed him a touchdown pass in Arizona, that's the first time in NFL history a Harvard quarterback threw a touchdown to a Harvard receiver or tight end. Brake, since the middle of last year, is the number one pass-catching tight end in the NFL. Let me say that again. He is the best pass-catching touchdown tight end in the NFL since week 9 last year. So he's a threat. O.J. Howard, the rookie, has kind of sprinkled in, had a big game in Buffalo, had almost a 100-yard receiving game and two touchdowns. They haven't gotten him as involved, I think, as he would like or they would like, but that is definitely going to be something to watch for in this game. Can Ryan Fitzpatrick take advantage of those tight ends, especially with Mike Evans suspended? I mean, we know DeSean Jackson's a burner down the field, but we anticipate the Jets will double-team him a bunch. You've got guys like Adam Humphries and Brait and Howard that can operate underneath. We'll see what Ryan Fitzpatrick elects to utilize, but those are two big targets, one wearing number 84 and one wearing number 80, that he's going to be looking for in this game.
Yeah, Brait's listed at 6'5", 236, Howard at 6'6", 242. And just a little nugget of information here, the Jets have allowed 513 receiving yards to tight ends, which is, and six touchdowns, which is 27th in the league. So that's going to be a tall task for the Jets secondary, no doubt.
Well, and if there's a team that can take advantage of that stat, you would think it would be this team. But, you know, as much as we try to go over this stuff in advance of all these games every week, you try to map out how might the game go. You would think Cameron Brake slated to have a big game against the Jets. That's why you line up and play the game. The Jets may completely take him away. They may double team him with linebackers and safeties and take him completely out of the game. We'll see.
Well, Jamal Adams played for LSU on the Jets, and Marcus May played for Florida. They are pretty familiar with O.J. Howard. He played at Alabama, and
right.
They've met throughout their college career. So, like you said, you got to line up and play the game. Who knows what's going to happen?
Well, and that's why, you know, by the same token, the Bucs come back home on a five-game losing streak, and the vibe all around us is, you know, the coaching staff in trouble. What's going on with Jameis Winston? He's going to the sideline for a couple of weeks because his shoulder is banged up. It's actually gotten worse. He's taking more hits on it, so they've shut him down for at least a couple of games. But this is the NFL, and you've got talented players. And if they get their act together, the Buccaneers, they can snap out of it at home. And as much as you would look at that as a Jet fan or a Jet observer and say, oh, this is a Tampa Bay team in turmoil without their quarterback, they're playing for pride at the moment, too. They're playing for a check, too. They're playing for jobs on this team or another team already for this season. This is their opportunity to show what they can do. And so let's see if the Bucs don't play a smarter, better game, penalty-free, turnover-free, at home, get the home crowd into the game, and see if they can get things turned around, because currently it's kind of like a snowball running downhill at the moment. I mean, the last 5 weeks have built on each other with mistakes, with penalties, with turnovers. Let's see if they can stop that.
You know, I think that the Jets are a little better than their record indicates. They're at 4-5, I think, because, you know, the Jets start strong, as you've seen the Patriots game, the Dolphins game, but they just can't seem to close the game out. So I think, you know, if take one or two of those, and you got a Jets team that I think is flying under the radar for a lot of people.
Well, and you look, I mean, Buffalo have been playing well. We saw the Bills right before the Jets played the Bills in that Thursday night game. Saw them about a week and a half earlier. They clobbered the Raiders in between.
Mm-hmm.
And they did something that nobody else has been able to do against Buffalo, and that's take the ball from them.
Mm-hmm.
Sacking Tyrod Taylor on the sack fumble. Then you had the bizarre play where Nick O'Leary caught the pass, looked like he was down. He jumped up because no one touched him. Then they hit him and he fumbled. They had not turned the ball over, and the Jets successfully turned them over and stayed away from the big turnover themselves and won the game. And this Buccaneer team, unfortunately, has been plagued by turnovers as well. So turnover battle will be a big deal, especially, let's say, in the first half of this game, because particularly if the Bucs with the home crowd behind them can get a turnover, can get an early lead, can put the pressure on McCown, you're hoping he makes a mistake. He throws an interception, maybe a pick six, something like that. That's best case scenario for the Bucs.
Now, for the Jets, key to the game, I think it's going to fall on the shoulders of the running game. The Jets, the Bucs' defensive front is ranked 22nd in the league. Could you give us an insight of the struggles that they have been facing this year? Because 22nd in the league, in my opinion, isn't, you know, top-tier defensive line here.
Not good enough. Not good enough, especially in the pass rush department. But against the run, they've been pretty good. And again, you've got Gerald McCoy in the middle, who's a perennial Pro Bowler, big fella out of Oklahoma, who's now in his eighth season. Lavonte David is a maniac tackling linebacker. Quan Alexander has been out with an injured hamstring previously. He's come back to play a couple of games. But Danielle, he hasn't been the same player. He hasn't been as effective since returning from the injury. Let's see if he has a big game. He's had some situations where he's been out of position, being burned on some plays. Let's see if he's better fundamentally in the middle of this defense, because the Bucs know the Jets want to run the football, and the Jets have had success running the football in their victories. So let's see if the Bucs can stymie some of that run as this game goes on.
Of course, we've got Elijah McGuire for the Jets running back. Also, Bilal Powell, he's a Lakeland, Florida native. That's going to be a home crowd game for him, right? How far is that from the
Lakeland? Only about 30 minutes from Raymond James Stadium to the east towards Orlando, where the game's being played. So, there's a lot of different footnotes for this. Of course, Austin Seferian Jenkins, speaking of tight ends, we haven't mentioned that name yet. Former Buccaneer draft pick who they gave up on at the beginning of last season because of his troubles off the field. And it's well documented that he's now said that, hey, he's gotten his life, forget about football, he's gotten his life straightened out and is doing a lot more of the right things off the field, gotten himself in better shape. And you know he would love nothing better than to stick one in, Danielle, on his old team, especially a touchdown on his old team. But by the same token, there's a couple of Buccaneers, safety Chris Conte, Quan Alexander, as we mentioned, Lavonte David, who would love nothing better than to level Austin Seferian Jenkins, because they haven't been allowed to do that previously. When he played for the team, you couldn't touch those guys in practice especially. So That's another fascinating subplot to this game. ASJ returning to RJ, to Raymond James Stadium.
Final picks for this. I'm going to go, the Jets are third in NFL in takeaways. I think Fitzmagic's going to throw an interception in the closing seconds of the game, as Jets Nation is so accustomed to seeing. I'm going to go with Jets 24, Buccaneers 17. What do you have,
PJ? You have a fairly high-scoring game.
Yes.
I really think the Bucs will have some struggles against the Jet defense. I think this is a lower-scoring game, and obviously I think Josh McCown will make that critical turnover. Give me Buccaneers 20, Jets 17. Something close. We haven't really talked about the kickers as of yet, but for the Buccaneers, they've got another new kicker. They've been through two kickers already this year, including get rid of Roberto Aguayo in the preseason, the former second-round pick. Patrick Murray is the Bucs kicker. He's been solid. I think Bucs by a field goal 2017.
Ooh, all right. Well, obviously, I'm going to go side with the Jets, and obviously, you're going to side with the Buccaneers. So it'd be an interesting matchup. It's going to be 1 o'clock tomorrow on CBS, Jets at Tampa Bay Buccaneers. All right, TJ, so thanks for giving such a great insight, an insider's insight about the Buccaneers to my listenership, and have you back on soon. You're great.
I always love being on with you anytime, including if we need to talk some college football as the playoffs start to narrow down in the college football playoff rankings. Love to be on with you. Keep up the good work with your show with 60 Minute Overtime. Now let's see what happens with the Fitzpatrick versus McCown sequel. 15 teams between them. You may never see it again.